Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast. I share ideas and strategies and blueprints. I tell stories. I share some of the epic mistakes I've made along the way, because ultimately I believe the teachers play a vital role in helping students reach their creative potential. And right now we're talking about a topic that we get into a lot on this podcast, which is project-based learning. And I want to share this idea that direct instruction is still necessary in a PBL unit, in the midst of project-based learning in a PBL classroom. And so I'm going to start by kind of sharing a story. Early on in my project-based learning journey, I made a vow to go 100% project-based. My students would learn everything through exploration and discovery. I would remain the guide on the side, observing the process and helping out only when necessary. After leading students through a highly structured documentary project, I decided to pull back entirely. This would be more student-centered and authentic. Students would be in the driver's seat. The thing is, it tanked. Not a week later or a month later, 2 days into the project, I realized my mistake. My students didn't have enough background knowledge to navigate the complexity of the project. I had skipped the concept attainment lesson, and my whole goal was to learn through the project. But my students didn't have a conceptual understanding of the topic that I was teaching. And yet I pushed forward through the inquiry phase and into research, where I realized that most of my students were unable to do the online research I wanted them to do. At that moment, I took a time out. I used direct instruction to build some conceptual understanding of the topic. I then used direct instruction and guided practice to help students learn how to do research. So they were learning the concepts of the lesson, and then they were also learning specific discrete skills of engaging in research. And I learned something valuable through these mistakes. Authentic projects can coexist with direct instruction. In fact, I would argue they should coexist with direct instruction. If authenticity involves making the learning real and relevant to students, then there might be moments when direct instruction might be the most authentic choice for me to make as a teacher. Yes, we want learning to be student-centered, but as teachers, we still have moments when we need to use direct instruction. True, it's important to be the guide on the side, but you're also the expert, and sometimes you need to teach students the concepts and skills and knowledge that they will need in order to thrive in an authentic project-based learning experience. So if you're new to project-based learning, I'm just going to give you a quick review. The Buck Institute, or PBL Works, identify 7 project design elements. That's challenging problem or question, sustained inquiry, authenticity, student voice and choice, reflection, critique and revision, and public product. Note that project-based learning can work in tandem with other pedagogical models. I see a huge overlap between PBL and inquiry-based learning, design thinking, problem-based learning. But the key idea remains that students are learning through projects, and as a result, they engage in deeper learning. So that's the key idea there. Now, when you look at those design elements, they don't initially seem very compatible with direct instruction. I mean, if students are going to engage in sustained inquiry, or if they're going to, you know, have voice and choice, you know, where's the direct instruction in that? But there are some key reasons that we should be using direct instruction even when we are designing PBL units. So I want to share those key reasons right now. Number one, direct instruction is necessary to build background knowledge and conceptual understanding. And here's what I mean by that. I shared this story earlier, a minute ago, of the failed project I had done involving forces in motion. My biggest mistake was assuming that students had the background content knowledge they needed to engage in sustained inquiry and research. Although my goal was to honor student agency and to provide choice, I failed to provide the opportunity for students to wrestle with concepts. And from an equity perspective, I need to give every student the opportunity to gain background knowledge. It's why when we did the launch process, we added in design thinking, there's not typically a section for inquiry and research. We added those elements for equity reasons because I want all students as they move into ideation to have that background knowledge. This is a key reason why we need direct instruction with PBL. According to John Hattie's research, inquiry-based learning had only a 0.31 effect size on student learning. That is negligible. However, Hattie clarified that inquiry is still vital for learning. He argues that it's actually one of the best strategies. Inquiry-based learning and problem-based learning are ineffective in learning surface-level information. However, they are highly effective in learning deep information. And Hattie argues that inquiry should occur after students have gained prior knowledge. This doesn't mean you have to teach an entire, you know, 3-week unit and then end with a culminating project. That's not at all what this means. What it means is take a single day ahead of time and outline core concepts. Front load the vocabulary. Do a concept attainment lesson where you teach how the concepts work. Do some skill practice. You might do discussions, guided practice, simulation. You might do a game-based learning situation or activity. But by starting with an interactive approach to direct instruction, you can pique the student's interest before the project begins while also helping them gain a deeper conceptual understanding of the topic. So that, again, is the first big idea. Direct instruction is vital to help build background knowledge. Number two, direct instruction can reduce cognitive load. Greg Ashman wrote an interesting article about the downside of inquiry-based learning and student achievement. In his article, he makes the distinction between epistemology, what it means to know something, and pedagogy, what it means to teach something. Scientists can engage in open inquiry because they have a wealth of prior knowledge, but students who lack prior knowledge often struggle with cognitive load. This is a similar issue raised over a decade ago by Kirchner, Sweller, and Clark, who linked a minimalist approach to PBL to cognitive overload. In other words, students, it becomes too much to think of. But a year later, Amelo, Silver, Duncan, and Chin pointed out that the researchers had conflated unstructured discovery with structured PBL. And the bottom line is that direct instruction can reduce cognitive load for students. And if we have a structured PBL process, it can actually lead to deeper learning and better retention of the knowledge. So the idea is that by adding some moments of direct instruction within a PBL unit, what you're doing is you are reducing the cognitive load. Idea number three, direct instruction can help facilitate skill development. So the last two were really about background knowledge and content knowledge, really focused on the conceptual side. Now this is about skill development. Creative projects require students to master certain creative skills. This might involve research, problem solving, brainstorming, peer assessment. However, you might need to introduce these skills through direct instruction. I've heard teachers say, don't waste time showing kids how to make a video, let them make a video. However, a video is actually kind of hard to make if you're truly going to be editing the video and going through the whole process. Whether they learn it through a tutorial or a guided lesson, students need some direct instruction to master the skill of video creation. Similarly, a short direct instruction lesson can help students learn the best practices for making slideshows or podcasts. When my students did Scratch video game projects, we used a gradual release of responsibility approach with direct instruction, guided practice, a mashup game where they combined two games, and finally a longer video game that they created. So in other words, we kind of started out with a recipe. The very first one that they did was following all the directions, and then by the end, they were creating something on their own. Similarly, when my current students learn to write lesson plans, craft assessments, or design professional educator blogs, I use direct instruction to help facilitate this skill development. Initially, I viewed this as less authentic than, quote, real PBL. But then I realized that in nearly every creative skill I've ever learned on my own, I sought out experts who guided me through direct instruction. I watched YouTube videos to learn key techniques. I looked at tutorials. I followed recipes first before I independently created something on my own. And guess what? That's absolutely okay. We need to have that permission. Okay, the fourth big idea is that the direct instruction can help facilitate guided inquiry. The Buck Institute, or PBL Works, right, which is the term that they tend to use now. I'm used to saying Buck Institute because that's what it was when I first started. But PBL Works includes sustained inquiry in their model. But inquiry doesn't necessarily mean that students are on their own asking whatever question that they want. Heather Banshee and Randy Bell conceptualize inquiry as a continuum from a more guided approach to a more open approach. So they have levels of inquiry from confirmation to structured to guided to open inquiry. And confirmation is where you control all of it. Structured, the teacher provides the initial question and outline of procedures, but students kind of formulate their explanation. Guided is where the teacher provides only the research question for students, but the students then design things, test things on their own, find things on their own. And I think that what direct instruction can do is it can help with this guided inquiry phase, and it can help students move toward a more open inquiry phase. And that's where the direct instruction comes in. As teachers, we may need to engage students in a direct instruction activity to help facilitate that structured inquiry and guided inquiry and move them to a place where they are doing true open inquiry. All right, the fifth idea is that direct instruction can work as embedded intervention. When project-based learning runs smoothly, you will have students working independently, but you will have students who need additional support. And that's okay. It might be an ELL student who needs a small vocabulary or grammar mini lesson, or it might be a student who is struggling with a particular skill set within the project. And in these moments, you can do small group direct instruction as a support for your students. And I think it's important that we as educators take a UDL approach. A universal design for learning is the notion that you're going to provide the resources, tutorials, direct instruction for all students, whether they are exceptional learners or not. If you're curious about UDL, I did a sketch video that you can find on the blog post that corresponds with this podcast. It's a little sketch video that you can check out. But what does this look like? What does it look like to provide direct instruction as embedded intervention? Well, it could be that you do optional workshops. PBL expert Mike Cackley, I'm a huge fan of his work. He kind of gets into this idea of social emotional learning and PBL. And what he does is he provides these workshops for all students. They're universally accessible to all students. So instead of doing small group pullouts with exceptional learners, each of the students in his class, every single one of his students has an invitation to these workshops. It might be a workshop on research and finding facts to back up a claim. It might be a specific workshop on how to summarize key information. But all students are welcome to join these skills-based workshops. And he really focuses his workshops on key skills. You could also do it with reteaching concepts if you wanted to as well. Second idea here is that you can provide a curation of resources. So as a grade level band, maybe it's the fourth grade teachers together, or as a department, you know, the English department, you can create a bank of tutorials that students can access at all times. I found it helpful to keep one single Google Doc with all these different resources and allow any student access to the tutorials at any time. This, by the way, has the added benefit of teaching students how to self-select the scaffolds that they need. They learn how to advocate for themselves, how to find things that they need. You can also pre-record your direct instruction. You can create pre-recorded videos that students can watch on demand. These might be simpler, like you could just press record on a slideshow for Keynote or PowerPoint, or these could be fully edited videos with visuals, slides, and diagrams. That second option requires a lot more time and effort though. So you kind of have to figure out what you can do, what's actually feasible for you. You can also have multiple videos that, again, you create as a department level, and all of those videos are available to all of the students. And what you can do is students can take a timeout from their project and watch a video at their own pace. Those who need additional language support or retrieval practice can press pause. They can summarize what they've seen. They can slow down the speaking pace on the video. You get the idea. And notice that this approach provides direct instruction when students need it rather than just before the project or at a separate time in the class. Students learn how to identify when they're struggling, when they need support, and how to go out and get it. Sixth idea is that direct instruction can reduce project fatigue. This sounds odd, but even in a highly engaging project, students often need a break from the routine that sets in with a project. When engaging in creative work, it's common to experience some level of tiredness, fatigue, exhaustion from a project. Even if you love a project, that's what happens. Students will get tired of doing research or working on prototyping or revising their work. A highly engaging period of direct instruction, though, can create a sense of mental space while also building the background knowledge or helping with skill development. And what it does is it just gives them a break from their project. Sometimes what a class needs is just a day off of their project, and they can do direct instruction, they can do a Socratic seminar, they can process the information on their own, they could reflect on how the learning's gone, and then they can go back to that project. So I just want to point out that, again, it's the idea that in every phase of a project, we can provide moments where we will do that direct instruction. I've given an example on the blog about how this looks in the launch process, which is our design thinking process that my friend AJ Giuliani and I developed back when we were teaching at the K-12 level. You can check it out if you want to see kind of what it looks like, where you would embed direct instruction into, you know, every phase of a project. I'm not going to get into it here. But the bottom line is that direct instruction doesn't have to be boring. I tend to brace against the idea of lecturing. It conjures up images of a crowded hall and a professor droning on while we all sit in the audience feverishly taking notes. But lectures aren't inherently bad. After all, I love a good podcast or a TED Talk, and that's essentially a lecture. I mean, you're kind of listening to a lecture right now. I regularly deliver keynotes for conferences and school districts and universities. Great direct instruction is often an act of storytelling. It's exciting and it's fun. So there are some ways that we can do direct instruction well. We can keep it interesting. We can engage in storytelling. We can have visuals or videos that tap into student interests. We can make it interactive. You might use game-based learning or simulations to be part of how you do your direct instruction. You might do a pair share or discussion activity in the midst of your direct instruction to break it up, and that also helps with that retrieval process. You can tie the direct instruction to your larger project. You can help students see that direct instruction will help them understand the concepts or develop the skills that they'll needed for the project. Ultimately, there's a time and a place for direct instruction within PBL. A student-centered approach does not require us to ditch all things teacher-directed. Sometimes the most authentic student-centered approach might just be a quality direct instruction mini lesson. And even if it feels less authentic, it is authentic to what your students are and who they are and what they need. It might just be that the very thing that they need to gain skills or to develop a better understanding of key concepts. And if that's not authentic, I don't know what is. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts? And tell a friend about it. That's one of the best ways to share this podcast. Just let other people know about it. So again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.